We are continuing our study of fear. And in these first 2 weeks, I have suggested that the way to conquer fear is to get a bigger and better fear. In other words, to learn to live in the fear of the Lord. Because one way or the other, your life is going to be impacted by fear. In the first service, I told a story about the famous jazz trumpeter, Louis Armstrong. Now, everybody in the first service knew who I was talking about. The whole front section here is looking at me like, who's that? But most of you who are at least my age remember Louis Armstrong, the great jazz musician. Louis Armstrong grew up around the turn of the last century in rural Louisiana in a very poor environment, living with a relative he called Aunt Hattie Mae. And his job, because they had no such thing as running water, was every morning and evening to go down to a pond and get a bucket and fill it with water and bring it back to the shack. Well, he was a little boy one night going down to the pond, and as he was putting his bucket in the water, an alligator surfaced and scared him to death. He dropped the bucket, took off running toward the shack, and of course Aunt Hattie Mae wants to know, where's the bucket and where's the water? And he explained that he had been frightened by an alligator. Well, she began to chastise young Louis and said, you go back down to that pond, you get that bucket, you bring back some water. She said, that alligator is as afraid of you as you are of him. And young Louis said, Aunt Hattie Mae, if that alligator is as scared of me as I am of him, that water ain't fit to drink. You see, fear can paralyze people. The great scientist, Louis Pasteur, was so afraid of germs, he wouldn't shake hands with people. Benjamin Harrison was president when they installed electrical wiring in the White House. He and his wife were so afraid of this newfangled idea called electricity that if they went to bed at night with the lights on in their bedroom and there wasn't a service to flip the switch, they'd just sleep with the lights on. You say, well, that's silly, but maybe there's some part of your life that's being controlled by fear too. And God does not want his children paralyzed by fear. And his counsel is to choose our fears more wisely. And so what we've been saying these last 2 weeks is a bit of a paradox, a bit hard to understand, but I am suggesting that we need to learn to live in the fear of the Lord so we won't be afraid so much. Let me show you an example where this very paradox is mentioned. In Exodus, you remember the children have been brought to Mount Sinai. And there God has thundered down what we call the Ten Commandments. And just after the tenth commandment is given, we read verse 18, that when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. And they stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, now watch this paradox. He says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Moses says, don't be afraid, but fear God. Be of good fear. Well, what does that mean, to fear God? Let me suggest to you that godly fear is simply an expression of a commitment to the first commandment. God has just said, I want to be first in your life. Don't have any other God before me. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, fear me, but don't be afraid. You see, your real God is what you fear. In other words, your fear identifies What is the most important influence in your life? One of the best known stories in the Bible is Abraham offering Isaac. You remember Abraham has waited 100 years to have a boy. Isaac is born. Abraham loves him with all his heart. And one day Abraham gets the perplexing command from God, take your son Isaac to Mount Moriah, build an altar, and sacrifice your son to me. This makes no sense. Isaac is the future. But Abraham gets wood. He goes up onto the mountain. He builds an altar. He straps his son to the altar, even though his obedience seems to contradict God's promise. And as he takes the knife to slay Isaac, God calls out to him in Genesis 22 and says, stop, don't do it. And then notice what God says. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. To fear God is to acknowledge that God is more important than anyone or anything else in my life. Now you might be thinking, but I thought the first commandment was to love God. Okay, I'm going to teach you a very important principle. You ready? You can fear God without loving Him. But you cannot love God without fearing Him. You can love and fear, and they both be pure and holy. You did with your father if you had a godly father like I did. I loved my father, still do. And I also honored, revered, showed deference and respect to my father. I feared dishonoring the name He gave me and His discipline. And I never saw it as a contradiction to love and to fear my Father. And neither does God. Look at these verses with me in Deuteronomy 10:12. It says, now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God does not think it a contradiction to ask you to love Him and to fear Him. Deuteronomy 13 says the same thing, verse 3 and 4. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you love Him with all your heart and soul. Serve only the Lord your God and fear Him alone. You see, this was the difference between Yahweh, the God of Israel, and all the gods of the pagan nations. The heathen gods were feared. But when Israel came before her God, Yahweh, Lord Almighty, ruler of heaven and earth, they could stand before Him in love and fear. And this is how God wants all people of all nations to stand before Him. There's a story in the book of Acts about Peter meeting a man, a Gentile named Cornelius. And Peter had a bigoted spirit toward Gentiles. But then the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and filled Cornelius. And it got through the dull and bigoted mind of Peter what God was trying to say. And so Peter said in Acts 10, 34 and 5, I now realize how true it is. God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. God wants everyone to be of good fear. You know why? Because God wants to bless everybody. God loves all His kids. And the promise is that God rewards all those who fear Him. Write that down for me. God says, I will reward you for fearing me. Remember, the fear of God doesn't make us run away from Him. It makes us run to Him. And God says, run to me, seek me first. I'll take care of everything else. Look at the storehouse of blessings the Bible says God promises to people who fear Him. The first is just goodness. It says, Psalm 31:19, how great is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you. God's got a warehouse full of goodness, good things He wants to pour out on people who fear Him in every nation. What kind of good things does God want to pour out? How about direction? Psalm 25, 12, and 14. Who then is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. The Lord confides in those who fear Him, who makes His covenant known to them. God says, I'll give you guidance in your life. I'll give you leadings. I will instruct you and direct you in the paths your life should take if you fear me. That's one of the blessings. What about provision? The Bible says, Psalm 34, 9, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Seek me first, God says. I'll add everything else to you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 103, 13. God promises compassion. Scripture says that the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Do you know to fear the Lord even has physical consequences? That's right. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, 7 and 8, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. The Bible says you will physically feel better if you learn to live in the fear of the Lord. In fact, look at Proverbs 15, verse 16 with me. The Bible says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. The Bible says the God-fearing life is the truly rich life. Because when you fear God, all the goodness He's stored up, He's eager to pour out on you. That's the promise, that God will reward those who fear Him. But now that promise rests on a premise, and the premise is that we want to learn how to fear properly. The Bible assumes that the people of God know they should fear Him. And it also assumes that Satan will attempt to produce counterfeit fears to keep God from being first in our lives. Because I tell you something about the devil. Anything God expects, the devil will want for himself. If we're to give God worship, the devil will say, bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. If we're to give God homage or respect or even fear, the devil will want it for himself. So the devil is a master at creating bogus fears to distract you from giving God what He alone is due. So we must be diligent in learning to be of good fear. And we must be diligent in teaching others to fear properly, especially our children. The Bible says one of the great duties of parents is to teach your kids to fear well. Psalm 34:11 says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Or look with me at Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 and 10. But watch out. Be very careful never to forget what you've seen the Lord do for you. Do not let these things escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren. Tell them especially about the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where He told me, summon the people before me, I will instruct them. That way they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will be able to teach my laws to their children. But you know something? You cannot teach your children what you are unwilling to learn. You must be willing to learn the fear of the Lord. And I want to give you a prayer to begin praying this morning. Pray it every day this week. It's Psalm 86, 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. You see, the problem with some of us today, and the reason we have so much fear in our lives, is that our hearts are divided. You have given God part of your heart, but other parts of your heart have been given to other concerns. And since other concerns are created and thus they are insecure, you live in constant dread. And the Bible says the key is to learn to let that heart be solely focused, single-minded on God. Pray that. God, give me an undivided heart so that I can learn to fear your name. And God wants to answer that prayer. What God wants to do is to come into your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit and keep you so focused on Him that you're not afraid of anything else. Do you remember when God was through the prophets telling Israel, I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to give you a new covenant. I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to put my spirit in you. Look at what God says, Jeremiah 32. They'll be my people and I'll be their God. And I'll give them singleness of heart and actions, that they'll always fear me for their own good and the good of their children after them. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. I'll never stop doing good to them. I'll inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. God wants to give you a heart full of good fear. And I want to close by asking the question, what would your life look like if your heart was that undivided? If your heart was full of good fear, what would your life be like? In the last several months, I've read every verse in the Bible I can find on the fear of the Lord. And there are three themes I've seen over and over I want to share with you as we close. And here's the first, that godly fear stresses defeating any sin. When I have a true reverence for God, I begin to have an increased passion for purity. And so look at these verses with me. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 6:16 says, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. And I love Job 1:8. If you could have a life verse, it would be hard to pick a better one than this. This is what you want your life to look like. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. When you fear God, sin makes you nauseous. See, I believe one evidence of a lack of the fear of God is a growing acceptance in the church of God for what I call pet sin. What I mean by that is that we are in an age that where grace has been discovered. And we have understood now that we can't earn our standing with God by our good performance. And nobody's perfect, right? Everybody's got flaws. So we have come to tolerate certain disobediences in our lives that continue to show up without any attempt to defeat and repel this sin. Because after all, nobody's perfect. I read a year ago about a guy named Matt George. Lives in the state of Washington, but he was down with some buddies in Arizona on vacation. And out there in the desert, he caught a 2-foot-long rattlesnake and decided to take it home as a pet. So one day, some friends are over, and he gets this rattlesnake out of the cage and grabs it right behind the head and kisses it on the mouth. And they say, what are you doing, you idiot? And he says, no, I do it all the time. And he tried to do it again, but this time that snake bit him right on the lip. His eyes rolled back in his head. He passed out. They had to care flight him to Portland, Oregon, where they barely saved his life. You think, what kind of idiot is playing with a pet snake? But the Bible says, who is the fool that tolerates pet sin? When you love God, you fear God. And when you fear God, you can't stand the idea that you would grieve Him and break His heart by things you know He hates. And so the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from almost everything. That's not what it says. Let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete purity because we fear God. The life that pursues purity is full of good fear. Another thing you know, when your heart is full of good fear, godly fear stresses treating people right. Over and over, as I read verses on the fear of God, I was struck by how often they relate to our dealings with each other. Just last month, there was something in the paper that caught my eye. A trustee of a small church south of Fargo, North Dakota, on Wednesday night was taking some towels back into the building. As he was trying to unlock the door, he heard and saw someone inside who ran out the back. He called police, and they quickly found and arrested a 22-year-old man who had been going in that church for some time and using the church kitchen for a meth lab. Now, a lot of you know that methamphetamines are one of the biggest drug problems in our country. And policemen will tell you that all over North Texas, there are meth labs in old warehouses and barns and the back seats of cars. But the police said it's the first time they ever found a meth lab in a church building. And the reason it made the paper was even an unbeliever would think, that's not appropriate. You shouldn't do something like that in a sacred place. You shouldn't dishonor God's temple like that. But you know, God's temple is not bricks. God's temple is brothers. Now the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:17, you show proper respect to everyone. You love the brotherhood of believers. You fear God and you honor the King. You notice, if you fear God, it affects how you treat people. You cannot honor God and dishonor people. And the Bible is full of verses like this. Let me show you some from Leviticus chapter 19. It says, verse 14, do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God, I'm the Lord. You say, the deaf can't hear me if I curse them, and the blind can't see it if I put something in their path. Yes, but God can. You treat people right, not because they can catch you, but you treat people right because God watches and you fear Him. Or again, same chapter a little later, it says, you show your fear of God by standing up in the presence of the elderly people and showing respect for the aged. I'm the Lord. You say, what's the principle? Well, look at the next verse. I'll show it to you. It says, you do not take advantage of each other, but you fear your God. I'm the Lord, your God. In other words, God says, I know how the world operates. The strong pounce on the weak. You climb to the top of the ladder by stepping on somebody else. The poor, the blind, the old. But my people will not do that. My people treat people right because they fear me. I don't care if it's the waitress who's messed up your order twice, or the policeman that pulled you over and you didn't think you were driving that fast. I don't care if it's the teacher that you think is doing your kid wrong, or the neighbor who picks the wrong time of day to mow his yard. I don't care who it is. The Bible says you treat people right because you fear God. There's not a single relationship of your life this doesn't touch. Some of you are in positions of rulership. You have jobs at the school, in the marketplace, even maybe in the church, where people serve under you. Do you know how you should manage people? The Bible says in 2 Samuel 23, this is David's last words. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he's like the light of morning. If you have a position where other people depend on you and take orders from you, you rule people in the fear of the Lord. What if you're under somebody? What if your position is more not the ruler position, but the servant position? Bible speaks of that, Colossians 3:22. You slaves must obey your the masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Obey them willingly because of your reverent fear of the Lord. This even affects the home. Ephesians 5 is the great text on husbands and wives in marriage, and it starts with these words, verse 21. Husbands and wives, submit to one another in the fear of God. You see, you cannot divorce the first commandment from the second. You cannot love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and dishonor his kids. The life that values everybody is full of good fear. That's what it means. God, give me an undivided heart. Teach me to fear you. And that means, God, if there's anything in my life unholy, I'm going to try to get it out. That means, God, I don't care who they are or what they've done. I'm going to do right to all people. And it means one more thing. Over and over in the Bible, it means meeting God often. People who fear God run to Him because they want to give Him the reverence He is due. They want to be in the presence of God. They love to worship Him. Psalm 22:23 says, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him." Or look with me at Psalm 5, verse 7. Because of your great love, I can come into your temple. Because I fear and respect you, I can worship in your holy temple. Remember, this is how God wants all nations to come before Him. God wants all nations to stand before Him in love and fear. And one day they will. Scripture says in Revelation 15:4, "Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." The Bible says the day is coming when every tongue and every tribe and every nation, every creature will stand before God and give Him the fear that He's due. But we have the privilege of giving Him that fear now. We love to come and meet with God. And I tell you something that's really exciting. When you fear God, it produces worship. And when you worship God, it produces more holy fear. Because when you worship, you magnify God. What does that mean? It means God becomes bigger to you. He becomes bigger in your thoughts. He becomes bigger in your heart. He becomes large and in charge. And as holy fear of Him increases, all those unholy fears begin to decrease. It's happened to you, hadn't it? You can think of a time in your life when something was really making you fearful. And you came to the service and you sat with brothers and sisters and you began to praise God. And the more you praise God, the more the worry began to go away. And you conquered fear because you had a bigger and better fear. In fact, I want you right now to hear a testimony of a man in our church we love, Lynn Lovell. one of our shepherds. He used to be an elder. He's still a shepherd. And I want you to hear his testimony, so watch the screen.
In 1995, at the age of 52, I had gone in and had an annual checkup with my doctor, and my blood work showed that my PSA had increased, had doubled in 12 months. And so he'd recommend I go to a urologist and have some for the test run. And that December, old lady and I had planned to go, and we went to Thailand to visit our daughter Lexi, who was a missionary. And as soon as I got back from that trip, went into the urologist, took some extensive tests, and he gave me the shocking news that they had picked up cancer cells in my prostate, and that he said it was a very aggressive strain. He felt like I needed to have surgery or radiation. He began to give me all these alternatives, radiation treatments, surgery, and so I left the doctor's office to think about that, and Satan began to put a lot of fear and apprehension in my heart. As I was getting in the car, I began to think about, I was weeping and thinking about leaving Olita, dying, leaving Olita, leaving the kids, three kids we have, never seeing any grandchildren. As soon as I got in the car and started down the road, the Spirit kind of spoke to me and said, you need to praise the Lord right now, Lynn. So I reached in and pulled out a Dennis Jernigan tape that I had, stuck it in and began to play praise and worship music by Dennis Jernigan. And going down the highway, weeping and thinking about a lot of things, praising the Lord, raising my hands and going down the road. And by the time I drove from Grand Prairie all the way to Hearst, Olita was waiting for me at the curb. And the praise and worship music had really settled me down, calmed me down, allowed me to get out and very rationally explain to Olita what was going on without just falling apart. And so that's my testimony about how praise and worship the Lord will cast out fears and apprehensions when we're going through the storms of our lives.
Now let me just say, I don't personally endorse when you're driving down the road raising your hands to the Lord. At least just one at a time. But I strongly endorse Lynn's testimony, because it's been true in my own life. When you give God the honor, reverence, the love, and the fear that He's due, when you magnify God, all those things that seem so frightening seem smaller and smaller and smaller. It's not a question this morning of whether or not we will deal with fear. The question is, will it be good fear or bad? Bow your heads with me for a moment. Oh God, we want to be full of good fear. We want undivided hearts. And so teach us, God, teach us to love and to fear You. Point out anything in our lives that is dividing our heart, distracting our focus, and competing for the reverence that only You are due. Grant to us undivided hearts, that we may walk in the fear of the Lord and no longer be afraid. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like everyone to stand with me, please. I want us right now to have a time of extended worship, because I believe this morning there are some people here who brought some fears into this place that God wants to speak to. And I believe if we will magnify God and remember that He is large and in charge, His Spirit will begin to minister to us and take away the bad fear and replace it with the good. Look at Revelation 19 with me. It says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, both small and great. Let's do that together right now.
Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, The anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the water would have engulfed us, we would have surely died, had it not been the Lord who was on our side. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for His unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Our help is in the name.
Some trust in chariots.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Some trust in horses.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. His love never fails. His name will always prevail. We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Well, some trust in the work they do.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
'Cause by His grace all our work is through.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. 'Cause His love never fails. His name will always prevail. We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Oh, glory to the name of our salvation. Oh, glory to the name above all names, the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in the wealth of things.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
The name worth more than anything.
We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. 'Cause His love never fails. His name will always prevail. We trust in the name of the Lord. We trust in the name of the Lord. We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater.
for He has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, He's ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, He's ruler of everything. His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for He has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, He's ruler of everything. He's ruler of everything. He's ruler of everything.
Amen. Remain standing. We're going to continue to praise God, but I do want to give you a chance today to be ministered to. If we could pray over you, just go to room 109 right now. There might be some this morning ready to confess the name above every name, Jesus Christ, be baptized in Him. Would you come down to the front so that we can minister to you this morning as well? We'll minister to each other as we just continue to remind one another that our Lord is great. Let's continue to sing.
Holy Lord, most holy Lord, You alone are worthy of my praise. Oh, holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing.
Remain standing. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisles at this time? We'll pick those up. Guests, turn in that purple card now or take it to the Welcome Center. We'll give you more information about the congregation. I want to remind all our sisters that the women's ministry is holding a prayer retreat this Friday night, Saturday morning at a beautiful Christian camp in our area. It would be a magnificent experience. Guys, encourage your wives to go for this special time of refreshing. Promise you'll take care of things at home, or at least you won't let the house burn until she gets back. So ladies, go sign up for that today. We had a marvelous beginning to our study of the Lord's Prayer last Wednesday night. Ask anybody that was there at the summit, anybody that was there, if that wasn't a blessing, that whole service. So I hope you can join us this Wednesday at 7. 5 people want to be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning. We're excited about that. All five are going to be baptized right after this service in the presence of their friends and family. Ryan and Amber Onstadt and their mother, Leanna, and Hannah Simpson and Cassidy Vanoder. We're really excited about these and know that God is just beginning to pour out on us a great harvest of souls who He's calling to Himself. Let's sing one verse of "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God." Just to remember, God, if we will put pursuit of God first in our lives, all the other things we're scared of, He will take care of. We'll sing that verse together, and then Terry, would you dismiss us with a prayer?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Sing it,
Alleluia, Alleluia.
Seek ye first the
God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today, but thank you so much for the love that you've shed for us. And Father, teach us to fear. Fear in a way that will honor and respect you. Fear in a way that will keep us doing those things that we know are right. Father, we just look forward to a time that our fear will be gone because we'll be with you forever. It's through your Son that we pray. Amen.